and we want to get started. We rather save time than waste time. I'm informed because today we are meeting two entities. The venue here is not very friendly in terms of space, but sure to bring some things and belonging to ensure that we can use the space properly. Space management, you can see more people in if we manage space properly. But the first people that we are dealing with is the IPD. So all of them must be inside. And then the leadership of CDD can also come, or some of them can. So manage the space properly. It's always good that we, because these are entities of the same department. If we all are in the same meeting at the same time, it happens. So, the Matunga is here leading the delegation of the department. We will pass the question here. Okay, so it is my honor to welcome everybody in the department, the entities, honored members. This is your meeting. We already covered some grounds. The first important stakeholder was met was the Auditor General. And indeed, we were reminded of, we are also reminded to deal with our budget. I'm going to do the same. Let us all do the same before we are interrupted, like they say, interrupted. Today we are meeting two CIDD, very important people. So here, let's manage them in the first 5 minutes, so it's understandable. So I hope we are all ready. So we will then check in terms of apologies. Our committee secretary will assist us in terms of the apologies, starting with the members and then the other secretary.
Thank you,
Chairman.
Good morning to all of the members.
Good morning,
I've got four apologies. The Honourable Members Manopa and Honourable Matebe, they are both on sick. Honourable Victor is on the on heart failure. Honourable Bukhan is also not able to attend today's meeting due to another Federal Committee meeting that he is going to. From the department side, we have also received an apology from the Minister. He is attending a meeting of the Cabinet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I take that we note the apologies, and we pray that those that are in hospital should have speedy recovery. Honourable Masiela.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think we should also note the one of Honourable Njobo. She mentioned yesterday that she'll be joining the Labour Committee today.
Thank you very much. That should be noted. Honourable Josephic.
Thank you, Chair. Just a question. I've raised this issue before regarding the absence of DG. And I noticed also that we don't have an apology for him. For me, it's something that we need to address.
Mayor Mas indicates it was the question of my age. So it was the Mr. Duterte remind me to give the apology, and I've accepted there was some explanation that was given, which for his absence this period. You remember I'm one of those who raised also the same concern at a meeting, but this time I didn't raise concern because at least there was an explanation given to me. So I think that's able that approach as well, because I was approved by the office of the ministry explaining the situation which I succumbed to. Thank you very much. Can we then, without, because we must manage time, go to the introduction? We always start with the honored members, and then the CIDP will also do the same, the department first, and then the CIDP. So somebody ready with the, to move the mic? My name is Humphrey Memeni, the chair of the portfolio committee.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Baby Adams.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Manu Kumase, I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Malcolm Fick. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. My name is Dennis Ryder, member of the committee. Thank you.
Oh, big boss. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of Parliament. My name is Bucha Matute. I'm leading the delegation from the Department of Public Works. And I'm accompanied by Mr. Mwasa. We are also having the presence of Ministry, but the leaders themselves also. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Mulatelo Mwasa, the Chief Director responsible for public politics in the BWT.
Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Advocate Fuduri. I'm the Acting Registrar for the Selected Council for the Sexual Profession.
Thank you.
Good morning, leaders and colleagues. My name is Letabita Shome. I am a president at SACAP, South African Council for the Architect Profession. I'm an architect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Christopher Zabawa from the Engineering Council of South Africa. Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. This is Hugh McGundon from the CCPCMP.
Yeah.
Good morning,
Honorable
members and colleagues. My name is Lindy Aston, I'm the CEO of CDE.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and my colleagues. My name is Christian Galose. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Council for the Built Environment, the CDE.
Yeah.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, colleagues. My name is Isaac Mbosi, the Chairperson, outgoing Chairperson of the CDE and President of the LSSCP.
Yeah.
Greetings, Honorable Members. I am Mohama Mungani, the CEO of CDE.
Good morning, Members. My name is Sonsi Bante from CDE.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Boniseni Lamini. I'm the Deputy Chairman of the CIDB Board. And through you, Chair, could I just take the opportunity to convey an apology from our chairperson, that is Ms. Nonkululeko Sintani. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. Ibrahim Mullah, Deputy CEO of CIDB.
Thank you very much. The one that is going to be presenting can keep that mic. We are still analyzing introductions, so we'll now come to our staff members that help us in Parliament to be very good.
Thank you, Chair. The next knowledge of the Committee Secretary and Public Works.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shoaib and I sit in
Good morning, Nate, Deputy Researcher for the Portfolio Committee and Public Works.
So I'm told there are people at my back. I was not advised earlier on. So we need to know who they are. They look familiar.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Zaid Motala, the Senior Manager from the Auditor General.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Daniel Tanabash, Manager from the region.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. Honoured guests, my name is Paul Mashaba. I'm from the Department of Public Works Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Good morning, Chair, Members. I'm Sari Romani from the Ministry.
Morning, Chair, and Honourable Members, and guests. I'm George Murugana from the Office of the Minister.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Long Chun. I'm the Committee Assistant for Public Works.
Chairperson and all honourable members, my name is Moise Kikobu. I am with the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
It's good to know that we are monitored, so we wanted you to make us aware. Thank you very much. So we want to hand over back to the department.
Thank you again, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, I want to reemphasize the apologies of our Minister and Deputy Minister who are likely to join us a little later, and again the apology of the DG as well. And I want to thank the Chair and the Committee for the opportunity for us to come and present before you today our annual report. We have, as members have already had, the CIDB and the CBE today, and the CBE has also invited some of the councils, and that's why we've got SACAP here and ECSA, the secretaries themselves. We are fairly satisfied with the performance as a department of the two entities that are going to be presenting today. There's been a very good progress that they've made. There are challenges in some areas. There are some of the objectives are not necessarily met, but the entities will definitely go into the details of what are the challenges in those areas. And again, we're also looking to their budget, their under expenditure, and why a surplus, and we'll also get further explanation from the entities on why the surplus and what are our intentions going forward. And again, of course, continuing to improve the environment of transformation. This is one of the key issues, particularly when it comes to the entities themselves. There's a lot of very good work that is happening in the entities with regard to transformation. Of course, with challenges, and those challenges will also be raised in the committee. We are looking to improve the environment going forward because it's very much critical for the development of our country going forward. I would at this point, Chairperson, request that we allow for entities, particularly the deputy chairperson of the CIDD to make his opening remarks before the CEO presents. And maybe I also request to say move the chairperson of the CBE before the CEO presents. Thank you, chairperson.
We will follow that order as requested by the DDG. Can we hand over to the leadership?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to present the performance, CIDD's performance for the year 2017-18. Maybe, Chair, to just mention that this performance that we're presenting today, it actually took place in the backdrop of serious human resource capacity constraints, particularly at the executive level of the organization. We have not had stability at that level. CEO position has been vacant for quite some time, 3 years at least, as well as CFO. However, the board, when it got appointed in January this year, it prioritized the task of actually bringing stability at that level of the organization. And I can just assure the committee that we have made good progress in that regard. The CEO position has been interviewed, and it will be going to the board for consideration, and very soon thereafter to consult with the minister. So that, we believe, that would certainly bring stability at that level. And of course, we expect that stability should come with improvement in terms of performance of the organization. On that note, Chair, we believe that we could have done better. And of course, there's always room for improvement. And the areas that we haven't done well, given that operating environment, internal environment of the organization, these are largely areas which are administrative in nature, administrative areas. However, we're able to perform fairly well in the areas of governance, and that is attested by the opinion of the Auditor General in terms of the unqualified opinion of our financials. And however, again, we say that also there is room for improvement in that regard. There is also, in terms of financial viability, we think that we have done fairly well. We are able to post a surplus in terms of our financials. However, in that regard as well, that surplus has been also allocated for being utilized in very specific projects that have been identified, of which my colleagues, the executives, would elaborate on. And then, I think, Chair, on the issues of the core mandate, I think there has been fairly good performance in that regard, and this is the area which addresses directly the development and transformation as well as general services that we provide to the sector. And I could just quickly highlight, Chair, in that area of the corporate, the areas that we think we performed fairly well. The contractor registration turnaround times, we have registered 95% compliance in terms of the registration turnaround times. Again, there's still always room for improvements in terms of that. Maybe the target going forward could be made more stringent, and that's part of continuous improvement. And then there's a number of standards the entity has actually rolled out, and these are crucial in terms of regulating the construction sector, as well as the standards that relate to the competence and training or development of contractors in partnership with the various flying departments, of which the Department of Transport in the Gauteng province is one of those partners that we work with. And then lastly, Chair, there's also a work in progress, which again is focusing on the issues of transformation and development of the sector. And these are the areas in the standards for health and safety, which are due for release for public comments. And the prompt payment of contractors, which is one of those areas that become a sore thumb for many small contractors in terms of the delay for payments. So we say we need to establish or propose a standard for managing and regulating that aspect, as well as areas of adjudication of projects to standardize that. We also, Chair, I think to mention the last point, the issue of the ease of doing business in the construction sector, which is a study that the entity undertook to just put you called the red tape studies. And out of that, there were quite a number of lessons that we learned, of which by now we are processing those to see how best can we basically assist to mitigate on those issues that were identified as impediments in the construction sector in terms of doing jobs in the sector. I think on that note, Chair, that would be the high-level overview of where we are as a board, and the details thereof, and I'll request the acting CEO to quickly take us through. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Tikuti Chair. We move as per your request, Chair, that the acting CEO take us through. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The presentation will cover the overview, the core program performance highlights. My colleague, Mr. Ntibandi, will be covering the areas in terms of audit outcomes, governance methods, and the financial report. In terms of the legislative mandate, I think this is pretty well known, presented to Parliament over the past few years. I think key issues relate to the need to point out in terms of CNB's leadership role. It's very important CNB is not an entity that, you know, delivers projects or even mandate a budget for construction projects, but we are regulated in the industry. And in terms of that, our regulatory role relates to value for the public sector and the development and transformation of the sector. Uniform application of policy, ethical standards, procurement reform, and then monitoring and regulating the performance of the industry. The mission is to regulate and develop the construction industry through strategic interventions and partnerships. In terms of CNB's strategic plan, our outcome-oriented goals are based on the elements of inclusive growing construction industry, innovative and thriving construction environment, being a reputable regulator, working with partners, and ensuring the entity that employs sound corporate governance. So in short, it's development, transformation, regulation, and high performance organization. Our programs then have been structured to give effect to those strategic goals. We have four programs at the CNTB, administration, and then we have the regulation and advocacy, which is a key element in terms of what CNTB does. The development and capacitation function within the CNB is the third program. And then we have a specific focus in terms of industry performance and transformation. I think it's important to say at this stage that there is an organizational design process underway at the CIDB. Some of the findings in terms of the Auditor General related to leadership instability, as mentioned by our Deputy Chairperson. And that process is nearing conclusion after quite a few years, and it's actually coming to the board at the end of this one. So we are looking forward to then becoming more effective in terms of the appropriate organizational design. I think one key issue that was mentioned is the effectiveness of the CIDB and where we need to, are we really effective, given that we find that the number of targets is not achieved. So where are we being effective? And one area that where the strategic plan was revised during the five-year cycle, and a very comprehensive approach was employed. And the administration area, some of the targets, or quite a few, are related to CIDB's internal administration. And one is to look at it in the context of what is the core mandate of the CIDB related to procurement reform, related to the registration of contractors, development, transformation, standards, performance. And you'll find that there is impact in terms of our core focus, but we need to improve our planning process going forward, as well as our capacity, which then means at the administration as well. In terms of the overall the findings, we'll go into the achievables and then we'll go into the ones that are not achieved. The responsibilities in terms of Auditor General findings, those were then dealt with within the appropriate targets, as well as the recurring audit findings were also resolved, but clearly we need to aim higher and then resolve 100% of the audit findings, but we do have an increased focus in that regard. Our Deputy Chairperson mentioned the financial management of the CIDB. We are in a healthy space in that regard, but I think what's going to be critically important for us is how to actually channel those to be more effective and to plug the areas where CIDB is not performing very well. We will, at the later part in the presentation, give the slide on governance. We've got the irregular expenditures and items here for share there as well, and as well as in terms of our downturn of IT systems as well. We perform there, but there is a usual room for improvement as well. The five-year strategy, a number of items have been coming through the CIDB board, and there's really an effective process going forward on a number of items related to the five-year strategy, but we need to do a lot for this 2018-19 year, and then next year will be the last year as well. So inward looking, then staff competency assessments that are underway, and then looking at recurring audit findings as well, that's something underway as well. I think on this one, on the contractor registration, members will know that it's what CIDB has come to be known for, is contractor registration, or National Register of Contractors. And in terms of that, while we show that, yes, we've certainly improved, you'll find that the discussion also would have changed in terms of CIDB and the Register of Contractors because of improvements. But in the same vein, we also have to point out that our software systems need improvement, because we have had identification by the Auditor General related to CIDB's provision of information, and we're saying that we need to use technology better, and that process is also something that's pending, and good strides have been made there in that regard. In terms of, yes, accurate grading of contractors and feedback from contractors related to the registration services, those were positive and achieved. We also then have the contractors that walk into our provincial offices that then rate the services, and that was also well received as well in terms of the path that we achieved. I think the Deputy Chair mentioned that the submission of various standards, CIDB has worked on a number of standards that would guide the industry in terms of various elements, from health and safety, standards for participation goals, and client departments actually require that kind of direction and assistance in terms of what these areas. I think at this stage, it's important for me to mention that CIDB's role in procurement reform is also something that we need to relook at collectively, and it's a process that links to National Treasury's SIPDM and CIDB's role, and we are making strides in that regard. There were various other areas where we then have performed well on. I would say that establishing baselines is not necessarily performing well, But CIDP took a very broad view in terms of our targets. And some of them, yes, they have a macroeconomic dependency. We need to relook at how we plan strategically and to see what is under CIDP's direct control. But nevertheless, we've taken a broad view in terms of what will move the industry forward, and various elements have been promoted, that tracking transformation, tracking the awards by client departments. The one area that CIDP is starting to move into, which it will add value, is actively promoting export promotion of our contractors, so African contractors. So the CIDP has entered into an agreement with PEPEC, which is the Broad Environment Professions Export Council. And we've actually then, through that process, developed an allocation for contractors to be part of the export promotion. And we have successfully done one round of that in this year. And I think there's really a need for CIDP to be more active in that regard, and taking also the African contractors. Various areas related to the non-achievements, I'm just talking about the administration. Bearing in mind what we said earlier was that on some of those areas, we have looked at the inward focus in terms of our own internal admin versus the core mandate of CIDP, and are we making a difference there. So there's various elements that we will come across, and I'll give the highlight in those areas. The one area that members will know that CIDP has come to be known for is the register of contractors. But equally, there's a register of projects that's also within the mandate of the CIDP. And linked to that is the best practice project fee, where client performance and industry performance can then be tracked. So in this past year, there's been three regulation amendments that were gazetted. And I think it's an area that we would like to see to conclusion. We gazetted the best practice fee for public comment, tender value limit adjustments for contractors, where contractors will have access to greater volume of work. And in registration renewal, members will remember before the debate was strongly around downgrading, which has toned down, but recently, and there's a reason for that in terms of the decisive action taken from the board. I spent a lot of time on this slide, but I needed to explain that some of these, in terms of the best practice fee, there's a linkage to some of our targets as well. So the delay to the best practice fee relates to the revenue received through alternative streams. That's an area that we think is going to move forward once the regulations are concluded. It has been submitted and we're working with the department. Then in terms of the SEM areas, links also to our CIDP capacity as well, where because of the organizational design, there was a freeze on positions effectively. Critical positions were filled, but once the organizational design is concluded, we can then move forward in various areas. And some of them links to various areas of non-achievements, including IT as well. Unfortunately, we CIDP does not have a head of our IT, we have an acting role as well. That has been also been approved by the Minister for CIDP to proceed with those appointments. So that is underway as well. And the people in the CIDP are trying to drive the achievement of those. Other issues related to that are pertinent that I'll point out is that the investigations, there was a delay in the appointment of the investigation officer company, which has subsequently been concluded. And in terms of that, there's been various contractors that have been sanctioned in terms of the CIDB Act and regulations. All the cases that we had from the 2017-18 year have been now pursued in this financial year. And a number of notices have been an issue to contractors in terms of that area. And employee satisfaction rating, the process has started now, where the satisfaction of our own staff members are actually being surveyed, but also it's been done within the context of an organizational design. And members would know that an organizational design can be either very clean and perfect process, or it can be a very process filled with anxiety. And so the staff satisfaction is also in that light. And as management, see, we have certainly been trying to win people over, because that's the only way we would be effective. And you find that if it's not done well, it can really be something that could affect any entity. Over the 5-year targets as well, there's various areas that we've been looked at we can improve in terms of the board resolution. But our current board and management executive are working well together. A number of items are then proceeding as well. Internal audit, we had an average rating our area, once again, the finding from internal side was also key vacancies not being filled, but that's going to be included, as I said. And then the internal audit projects have gathered momentum after the March 2018 period. So we've got a number of internal audits that are actually underway currently. The CDB in the 17-18 year did not conclude the stakeholder perception index of stakeholders as well as customer satisfaction rating. These have been subsequently concluded, and we've got the results in terms of our stakeholder perceptions and customer satisfaction. What has happened in terms of board and management has actually deliberated on the outcomes of that as really informing our next 5-year strategic cycle as well as our coming annual performance plan. And there is very interesting feedback that we are getting from stakeholders as well as customer satisfaction in terms of, when we say customers, we mean specifically those that are affected by our direct services, so that's your contractors, your clients, and to an extent your professionals as well. And then in terms of the IGR resolutions, we've also been needed to catch up on that area, and we have been working well in terms of that regard. The register of projects, I think this one is an area of improvement in how targets are crafted as well. It relates to a client's register of projects with the CIDB. It's not the CIDB that then enrolls those projects. When the client departments register those projects, the information that enters on the system is actually then questionable, and actually the target needs to be improved. So it's an area that we need to look at. The grade one area, and it's only the number of processes, the processing bed, that's an area that links to our improved technology, where we need to be improve our information related to legislation. The regulations actually allows 21 working days for processing. CNB has tried to be quite optimistic to live within 48 hours, and that's allowed us to push for grade one at the provincial offices, but it's allowed us to then really move our services along, but there's room for improvement in the technology side as well. The contractor graduating from CDP is an area where there can be improvement in that regard. We'll be focusing on that. As well as the issue in terms of recognition of contractors in terms of the contract and PSP recognition index. We've had awareness in all the provinces as well. And there is, I'll show it to a slide later on contractor competence management. And there is progress, but I think we need to really move that along. The compliance area, we attempted at CADB to work with the Department of Labor related to all the projects that are then in terms of permission granted to the Department of Labor, so we can link that to the projects that are not on the CADB register. Unfortunately, despite various attempts, we've not been successful with the Department of Labor, but we are still trying. The Provincial Performance Index, the baseline was determined unfortunately after the 17-18 financial year, so we'd be considering those as well. I think one area that's very important for CIDB, and it links to a few initiatives, it's actually CIDB, what we're doing on the ground in terms of contractor advisory services. You'll find that CIDB offers infrastructure as well, linked to organizational design. It's not optimal, and this has been the focus of our board and management, where we are getting to a point on how to really push those projects together. Ideally, what it means is we want to be able to advise contractors that work in the provincial offices related to various aspects, and we could work with our partners as well. So industry-related matters, it could be matters related to prompt payment, it could be contract advice as well. And then in terms of the project assessment scheme, once again, the regulations have been gone up for public comment. Unfortunately, it's not been concluded. It was published in December 2017, around there, but the conclusion hasn't been reached yet. We've done a lot of work in that regard, and we're trying to pursue to get that concluded. The this is also linked into the performance ratings, because the end of the project assessment scheme, service providers that are also rated at the end of the project in terms of performance. And that's a very key area, because if you look at the CNB current grade, as we know for many years now, since 2004, the register is up and running. But really, what is the true value that we can provide with that register? Contractors are grade 7GB or 8CE. How does one track the performance of contractors over time, the record there? And having said that, there's two sides to this issue. One is that, you know, there has to be performance of client departments as well. The because you get contractors that would then get negative rating, and then the recourse in terms of that contractor rate the client as well. So those are the deliberations that are underway in terms of actual tracking performance, and we'd like to pursue that area in a fair manner. So in terms of the tracking contractor growth, we have developed various systems. We need to improve our tracking of contractor growth, but we do have a quarterly monitor that we produce that actually does that. We have an online query system in place, but we need to just link that and get the process concluded. The contractor payments, once again, I think it links to our statement earlier that there are targets that CABB has set for ourselves that have a dependency on the industry, on stakeholders, on the macroeconomic environment, on client performance. And it's perhaps an area we need to look at improving as we go forward, but not to lose the focus, because contractor payments has been a critical issue in terms of delay payments to contractors. CABB has put ourselves also in that on that line, despite the fact that we don't have projects. But in terms of tracking there and looking at how can we raise the issue of payments. I think on this one, we have to say a bit more. Our Deputy Chair raised the issue of standards as well. Those standards also promote prompt payment of contractors. And it's not only ways client departments pay main contractors, it's also main contractors paying subcontractors. So it's a standard that actually then requires the industry to get improved. In terms of that area. Some areas, you know, that contractors would come to CIDB seeking registration only to find that the main contractor would not be formalizing the relationship with the subcontractor. So they can't improve documentation, payments, etc. In fact, it affects then the contractor's ability to operate with the CIDB as well. And then, yes, the business advisory services, we spoke about it earlier, that we are getting traction in that regard. Again, linked again to CIDB setting kind of macroeconomic targets as well, access to credit. And while we are not a financial institution, we try to put targets in there that will actually push the industry forward, looking at access to credit and how we can improve that situation. There's a linkage here with CIDB's best practice fee that was published for public comment, where some of the proceeds in terms of that will actually directly be plowed into contractor development. Finance is one area as well. And then growing contractors through strategic partnerships as well. We've got the business plan will be submitted at the end of September, so we're almost concluding that process in terms of that area. I think on this one here, in terms of our partnerships, linked to this as well, is the area of the National Contractor Development Program. So CIDB has been published that. And then we have a monitoring tool that also then tracks the enrollment of contractors that are benefiting through the National Contractor Development Program. Earlier we mentioned that the registration process taken up the regulations were 21 working days. We set the target of 48 hours for grade 1. The table there shows the 92%, but there is an area here that we must point out is that there's a need for CIDB to automate and to improve our reporting in terms of that. And it's an area the Auditor General has pointed out, and we really take it seriously. To the extent where within the calendar year, that's prior to December, we're actually targeting November, which is next month, we are piloting an online grade 1 contractor application process to start with. And a lot of work has happened in that regard. The Central Supplier Database of National Treasury is an opportunity for contractors not to duplicate information with CIDB. So, you know, contractors travel quite far to get our provincial offices. Depends on the provinces they come from. Some areas, you think contractors really do travel 400 kilometers or whatever it is to come there, only to find that it's certification of documents, issues of tax clearance certificates, and all of those. And what the thinking is here, the contractor walks into CIDB's door and provides the central supplier database number. And with that CSD number, we already have an engagement with Treasury where we already linked, and we can then get all those information, the compliance information, so contractors don't have to duplicate that with CSDB. And we have moved significantly in that regard to the extent where we actually piloted it in the month of November. And I think it's a proposal with development. Equally, for the 2 to 9, they will also have the opportunity then to pay fees through the CIDB website, as well as to launch the annual update of particulars. This would have reduced the volume of contractors that walk to CIDB's door, and it's something that we are looking for. It's a long time coming as well. It's really high time that we get this off the ground and we're moving well. The contractor competence assessments were done in all the provinces as indicated in the slide set. And in terms of competences or measures, in terms of work management and then business management, and then contractors were then given a competence assessment database effectively, and then gaps are then identified in terms of what are the training interventions those contractors then need to really improve those their businesses. In terms of upgrading, the contractors is showing that from grade 7 and 8, 21% of contractors can upgrade. At 5 and 6, 28%, and the 2 to 4, 28%. And within that, we're finding that the proportion of black-owned contractors that upgrade are actually greater than the norms. Always are happening, but I think we need to assess whether they have to get the right level. I think related to this, you will bear in mind that if members will recall, the debate on downgrading would have subsided a bit. And the issue is now, can contractors upgrade adequately? Linked to this as well is what we published in this calendar year, the tender value limit adjustments. And that was published for public comment. It served with our board at the end of this month, is to serve. And if that's approved, so far the policy unit of the Department of Public Works is very supportive. They support that process, and in short, we hope to publish a revised tender value limit. What it means is that a contractor, for example, at your varying levels, would be able to access greater levels of work. It's an inflationary adjustment. And then there's a provision for improvement, more consistent improvements in terms of that area. And so then in terms of the black ownership proportion and women ownership, what we started to track at CIDB is not just companies that are designated black owned, but also what's the depth of the ownership within those companies. So you'll find that companies that have a 30% black ownership, what is then the proportion of those companies on the register versus companies that have 50% ownership and then higher as well. So we started tracking those. In terms of those, what is indicated in the slide is that then at grade 9, which is your higher level, 30%, just under 40% of contractors have an ownership proportion of black ownership of 30% or more. If you look at contractors that have an ownership of 50-51% at your grade 9 level, that's under your 40% of those contractors actually have their proportion of ownership. So clearly at your grade 9 level, contractors are still better to get into your grade 9 level. Recently what we're also seeing is that your number of grade 7 and 8 contractors are increasing. Grade 9 is actually battling for work as well. It links to a key issue as well in the industry where for a while, small and medium contractors, they do battle, and that indeed is still the case. But recently you found that even your grade 9 contractors receive liquidations of bigger firms, those that is happening, and there's various reasons related to that, poor economic conditions, delayed payments to contractors as well, to a lesser extent, your site disruption, although it's a small extent, but it is an emerging national issue in terms of disruption of construction projects. And we can share with you our engagements that we've had recently in that regard, if time allows. In terms of women ownership as well, it shows the depth, and essentially with women ownership, we find that it ranges around about a 30% level. At a smaller rate, slightly more, but really as one goes above, it's the situation in women ownership is much less than your black ownership. So really about 30% at the higher level, companies or women owned, grade 7 and 8 would be also then just under 40%. I think what's important to share with the members is what is going to be improving going forward. And there's key areas that the guidance of our board really relates to improved monitoring of our performance targets, but it's within the context of an organizational design resourcing that needs to be improved as well. So specifically, I won't go into all the details of it, but the performance is tracked more regularly. The strategic planning processes are then improved. I indicated earlier, yes, there's a difference between our administration targets that look at internal focused issues like your employees versus your industry-related core mandate type of issues. So that's on the one level. And in terms of that, the link to the FSS is finalizing the senior positions, the executive positions, giving stability there and completing the organizational design as well. I would like to move to the audit outcomes and the governance and the financial area for Mr. Sibande, if I may.
Thank you, CEO. In terms of the audit outcome for the financial year ending 31st March 2018, we received an unqualified audit opinion. However, there were certain elements which were raised by the AG and relating to about four issues. I think that's where the major matters reported by the AG. I think the first one relates to the irregular expenditure which was incurred within the financial year of about 113,000 rand. And if one actually breaks that 113, it's mainly two contracts. The first one was about 217, which related to a contract which was procured in 2015-16. However, it was still ongoing. And as AG would always drive that for that, even if it was condoned, but if you think that the contract is still reported as irregular. But for the year, I think the new transaction amounts to only 196,000 rand. We currently investigating that regular expenditure. Once we finalize the investigation, we then follow the process as advised by National Treasury of how to actually proceed in that matter of that investigation. That was the only new transaction. On the 2017, which was related to the previous years, there was consequence management which took place relating to the chairperson of the evaluation committee, whom was issued with the warning as required by national treasury regulations. And then the other issues which were highlighted by the AG was relating to the issues of the instability at the top. The deputy chairperson as well as the CEO did indicate that there is already a process which is currently underway in relation to the position of the CEO as well as the CFO. In terms of the sales position, the interviews the deputy did indicate and report to the member that the interviews have been conducted and finalized, and they are in the process of making sure that this matter has been tabled and then deliberated at a board meeting, I would assume. Which is scheduled for the 25th of October, and then thereafter it will then follow the process of taking to the ministry. The other one of the CEO for CFO, the process also underway. And of course, in terms of the other vacancies, which pretty much have been actually existing, and then the vacancy will indicate that we kind of put every position on hold to allow the OD to actually go through uninterrupted and then be able to actually dictate the requirement of this IDB. So in that aspect, we will, as soon as the OD is finalized, which is pending, we'll then be able to actually proceed with making sure that all the positions are capacitated as required. Then the other issue which AG did actually hammer us on was the issue of the accuracy of underlying payments reporting. The CEO did indicate as well that we must also acknowledge that certain of our target and objectives were not realistic and they were out of our control. As a result, we did actually not achieve them. However, in terms of that particular aspect, most of the errors which were actually reported or dictated by the AG, we were able to actually correct them in the engagement with the AG before the audit was concluded. So we did actually resolve most of those findings which AG raised. In terms of the FDM audit, we had one supplier who did not declare that they were employed by the state. I think though we do source from the CSD, I think it's also important to highlight that at this point in time, it's unfortunate that the CSD does not have the capacity to actually dictate anyone who's outside of the person or bus system, even though they're employed by the state. But as IDB, what we are doing, we're actually trying to actually assess our control, our detection system, which is available to us. And we're trying to work on improving those detection, at least
able to present not only the light of life, the statistic, which at this point in time has been issued to anyone who's employed by the state, by Kosovo and Tessa. In terms of the particular supplier who was employed by Tsavo Zimbe municipality, we have returned to the municipality, informing them and actually inquiring about their employment status, and also returned to the particular supplier to actually confirm or negate his employment status with the Tsavo Zimbe municipality. We're still waiting for the response in that aspect. As soon as we have any confirmation, either negative or positive, then we'll be able to proceed to dictate how we proceed with the contract. I think if we can go to the next page, yes. On the issue of the governance, we currently have about, because we're in transit, we have a new structure and the old structure. In terms of the old structure, which is the structure that pretty much was existing prior to the OD, because the new structure will actually be tabled to the board on the 25th of October. So we're currently on the old structure. We have about 234 positions, which is they are approved on the ground. Of that 224 positions, only 171 are filled. The process to fill the position has been suspended until the OD is finalized. That did indicate. So we have a vacancy of about 50 or so existing society at this point in time. But we are confident that as soon as the OD is approved by the board, we'll actually start rolling out and making sure that we're able to capacitate the structure as required. In terms of the misconduct and the disciplinary actions, in comparison to the previous years, we only had like five cases, which is not, I think the conduct and the behavior of our people is quite improving, and we are able to actually drive a sort of a culture whereby we people are more accountable and responsible. We only issued one written warning in the annual review. We resolved about three cases which didn't say name. And those cases related to issues whereby the leadership of the union wanted certain clarification, wanted certain interpretation regarding issues of salary increases. They were not issues of staff per se. On the issues of labor, we only resolved one case at the labor court. If we just move to the next slide, please. This is our employment equity, which specifies the employment of the CITB population. And I did indicate that in the current structure, we have 171 of the 224 employee. I think the top management, we currently have no one employed in that particular level. And of course, the DC as well as the CEO did indicate that the process to actually capacitate the top management, what will be deemed as ESCO, is underway. Of course, as soon as the CEO has been appointed, it will be able to proceed with the process. In terms of the general management, which is the program management level, we have two. We've got one being white and another one being Indian. Senior management, we have about 10, 6 blacks are male, 1 female, and then of course 3 female blacks in senior management level. At middle management of professionals, we have about 18, and the split is between 11 African, 2 Indians, and then 1 white, and then we've got 3 African or female, and 1 white at that level. And if you go to semi-skilled, being about 39 at that level, which is 15 male, then 21 female. Then semi-skilled, which is pretty much at that mid level, we have about 81. Another 21 African male, 2 colored, then we've got 1 white at that level. Then the female at that level, is, they account for the rest. If you look at the spread, 47 will be African, then 4 colored, then we've got 1 Indian, then we've got 3 white at that level, which is about 47%. At the unskilled or at his level, with only one being a female, that is our the number that. If you're looking at the spread between full employed as well as the fixed term contract, which is to sort of about 20, we have a 20 being fixed term, and of course, as soon as the OD is finalized, we expect that fixed term or portion of our employee equity will actually be cannot fall within our new structure. We have about fixed term, we've got about 8 being male, and then about 9 being female. And then the employee with disability, we've got one at this point in time, being partially blind. Then we've got temporary employees, which is about 2. And of course, we do expect that the OD, of course, taking into account the recent court rulings, will try to sort those out so that it is in line with the required regulations and rules. If we go to the financial performance, which is the how did you perform in terms of in this current financial year against the budget? We made a surplus of about 35 million, and I think it's very important, as the department did indicate to us, that we must share with the committee the plans we have around that 35 million. We currently engage in national training to actually be able to give us sort of a permission to actually retain those particular funds. And particularly for a few projects which one can highlight, due to the fact that we are expanding our structure in society, we definitely one of the things that we might need to do is actually provide accommodation, office accommodation, which will be in line with the new structure, which will be which is quite increasing, so that we are able to accommodate those people. And secondly, we are also investing onto this new on our IT infrastructure, so that at least we are able to move with times and accommodate for the new technology, including the online registration, which we're going to be piloting in November. So as part of that particular direction society, we are taking a strategy, which is pertinent to our IT strategy, we do definitely need to actually invest on our equipment, in the laptops as well as the desktops, even the infrastructure that we have. So we currently engage in a treasury to actually be able to allow us to retain a particular surplus. Fortunately enough, most of the projects which we want to embark on, they have been solid progress or commitment which has been made. And that evidence has been submitted and given to Treasury, and we're currently engaging in with them, and we do believe that they will be considerate and consider our case to be realistic and achievable. If you're looking at the income side, we were budgeting about 85 million to be income that we have raised through our registration or own generated revenue. However, we made slightly more than the 85, which we budgeted at the 4, which is about 2 million more. Of course, I think we need to be able to specify that that is really due to us processing more applications, and of course, there will be the effect of the downgrading, because now when we're downgrading contractors, we're able to actually record revenue at a higher level than we've been equipment and downgrading them. So that will be the positive in that aspect. If you're looking at the transfer from the grant from the PWU, we received 74, this was budgeted for. And of course, the interest which was significantly higher than the budget by almost 7 million or so in that aspect. I think for the fact that we were able to have a bit of surplus, and then it will make sense that we get more money on the interest if you want a bit of that disposal cash on hand. Then we also have the central income, which was not part of our budget. The central income for 2023 relates to insurance claims for about 3 laptops which we lost in that period. So we then be able to claim those from our insurance. So that is pretty much there. Because remember, you will be able to know if you lose any assets, so that has a play related to a particular insurance rate. If you go into the expenditure side of government, on administrative expenses, we are benefiting about 56 million. However, we spend about 44 million than which is 11 million less than the budget. And of course, the issue that we did not undertook certain projects is the primary reason why there was actually underspend in that aspect. When they kept some expenses, the budget was about 4.5 million, and however, we spent about 215. SITB and of course the CEO and the deputy can come here. We've been engaged in the process of trying to actually procure our own building, and of course we've been engaging our department to actually see if they can assist us. As part of our planning, we also actually provide for furniture, capital equipment for that new building. However, due to the fact that we've not been able to actually move to the new building, we ended up not spending that capital budget. That was a decision that for the project, which relate to moving to our own offices, and we are, however, confident that in this period, as soon as we are able to procure our building, we will be able to actually start moving to the right direction. Expenditure, we were under by 11 million, and of course, if you look at the vacancy that we have within the structure, we're going to be able to justify why we're going to spend that particular aspect. We've got 50 vacancies, which most of them are budgeted for, and as a result of that, we are actually not spending as supposed to. Then on the professional and special services, we actually spending more than what we're supposed to. I think primarily one thing the CEO did indicate that there were certain items which also certain services which we are researching that with the new structure they will be internalized, they will be part of that CITB, carry out just within our capacity or within our staff establishment. If I can give an example, that would be the internal audit. As well as the investigating unit, whereby we're investigating those people who contravene the CITB regulations and acts. Due to the fact that we have not been able to actually capitate our structure, those ones, what we've then did as CITB, we went out on a short term contract, and then we are currently servicing them on a short term contract. But as soon as we are able to capitate our structure, those ones will then be moving from professional services to personal expenses. And thank you.
Thank you, Theo. Are you done?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
In terms of the team, if you all comfortable, unless there's one, see, I can see CITB as a big delegation. If somebody thinks there's a point that you want to add, you still have that opportunity. But if you, because you still have opportunity when members are asking questions to further add, but you have the opportunity. The chair is saying it's fine. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we want to take a break before we start with the question. Strictly 15 minutes break, so that when you ask questions, you get answers almost immediately. So if we are fine with that, we strictly request then the 15 minutes, and let's allow honorable members, first, if there's some refreshment, let's allow honorable members and then our staff, and let's go that way. Take 15 minutes, meaning we'll be here by, say, 11 sharp. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What are you asking me now? Yes, my office.